Yo, I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? Huh? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sakes. And you know what you're listening to? You're listening to Wild Talk. That's why they're trying to cage me.
This is Christiane, DNA Knockout.
This is Lacey Von Eric.
I'm Al Snow. This is Harry Smith.
This is Stampede Kid T.J. Wilson.
Everybody, this is good old J.R. Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
The evolution of online sports entertainment steps back into the squared circle to present to you Wrestle Talk Radio.
Are you ready?
Join us as we cover everything from old school to new school in the WWE, TNA, and indie scene.
It's still real to me, damn it!
With your host, Tim Stein.
Hail to the king, baby.
You will bow to me, Spud.
Let's face it. Most of you don't like me.
Will,
I am awesome. I do what I want, when I want.
Mace.
Everybody knows I'm perfect in every way.
And the Omega.
I'm half man, half amazing. I am better than you.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby.
And welcome to another live edition of WTR Sunday Night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. As always, it is me, the be-all and all of the WTR Network, the Omega, showing up on all the good shows around here. And unfortunately, I'm having some technical difficulties at the moment. This is two microphones I've gone through now, and none of them sound as good as the dying pair. And speaking of things failing me, Will has not shown up once again. So we are going to continue on without him for now. I am also joined by the Spud Guy.
Yes, yes you are.
Excellent. The Aussie Mace.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the greatest night in the history of our sports. Sorry, just going with the music there.
I think we're still about 10 hours off.
Bugger.
And, as always, the Canadian, Tim Stein.
Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to one good old-fashioned slobber knocker that we call Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Okay, maybe it's not that old-fashioned. Maybe the only slobbering you might be doing is after you had a couple. I don't know. But, hey, we got a bit of a fun night that we're going to have tonight. Of course, we're going to talk about the big show tomorrow, both big shows tomorrow, Bret Hart returning to WWE for the first time in 12 years, and some bald guy on another wrestling thing showing up on that program, too. Yeah, we're talking about Hulk Hogan, the Hulkster, brother, showing up.
You know, TNA live.
Both shows going head to head.
Tim, don't discount Hogan being on TNA, because it still is a big deal.
I wasn't discounting it. I was making fun of it. I'm entitled to do that because it's my show.
And in turn, you were discounting it.
Not really. I was going somewhere with it, but you blew it up, and it's totally wrecked now, so we'll just forget about it. Yeah,
we'll go somewhere with it, old man.
It's too late now. So, we're going to be taking a look at Hulk Hogan's debut in TNA. TNA going live head-to-head with WWE Raw for the first time ever. Could this be the genesis of the Monday Night Wars Part 2? Well, we'll talk about that. And, of course, also coming up tonight, we're going to do a little something fun. It's going to be the WTR Trivia Challenge, where we will pit the hosts against each other in a trivia test, trivia question competition.
Do we get to win your stuff?
No, fuck you. That's all there is to it. And of course, we're gonna be going into some quick hits at the end of the show, like we always do. That's the old rapid fire for those of you who really give a damn. But yeah, we've renamed it. It's now called Quick Hits, and it's just a couple of quick questions per show host, and they got a few seconds in which to answer before we move on. And you never know what the questions are going to be like. So that's all there is to it. Once again, everybody, we do have a toll-free line, and we're paying the dime. We're paying the freight on the call. So if you've got anything you want to talk about tonight while we're doing this little internet webcast thingy, McGee, then call in. 888-357-9876, option number one.
By the way, I have a question that will spark a long debate amongst the hosts.
Oh, okay, let's find
later.
Mm-hmm.
Omega knows what it is.
Oh
yeah.
And Omega can agree. It's actually a really good question.
Mm-hmm. So when do we get blessed with your question?
When you stop being a narcissistic ass, but...
Oh, that'll be the day after hell freezes over. So,
that'll be the day we stop doing this show.
Well, I'm just saying the day after hell freezes over, which according to certain people on the internet will be Tuesday because tomorrow night hell freezes over with Bret Hart returning to the WWE. How big of a story is this, Spug?
It's a big story. And Omega and I were talking about it earlier. It really is a big story for the simple fact of, and I laid it out last week, it's a 13-year payoff that wrestling fans have been waiting for.
That they thought they would never see.
Exactly. Now, we can't and I said it to you in the open, you can't discount Hogan to TNA because Hogan to TNA is also a big deal for the simple fact of that is a name, a marketing name that TNA has not had to put its money behind.
Uh-huh. Would this be a big story if the Montreal Screwjob never happened, Omega?
No. Not in the least. The whole point of this is, you know, 12 years of anticipation for what you thought would never happen again. This is hell freezing over. It's very literal. I mean, unless Bret comes in with a bomb strapped to himself underneath that leather jacket, I can't believe that he's actually going to be back on Raw without breaking someone's skull.
What I find interesting is the setup from last Monday night's Raw. You know Shawn Michaels is going to be involved one way or the other with Bret tomorrow. Now, if there's a bigger shot, then the announcement of Bret Hart guest hosting Monday Night Raw January the 4th, it would be the revelation that Shawn Michaels is involved in some shape, form, or fashion. How mind-boggling was that to you, Mace?
Mind-boggling? Anything mind-boggles me at the moment, my brain's dead.
I'm sorry to hear that. It must be the sun and the heat.
It is.
God
damn. My brain's like a fried egg.
There you go. That's what you get for living in Australia where they've got their seasons all screwed up and backwards.
Yeah, I need to go up to Canada and see my...
Your...
Yeah. Cindy.
That's an interesting way of phrasing that. Caught yourself.
Well, supposedly I'm her husband.
Supposed
I was informed of this last week, but, you know, first I heard about it.
Oh, that's okay. She's got about five or six of them running around. Don't feel special. Okay, five or six might be an exaggeration. She could have, like, two or three. I don't know. Last I heard, she was also engaged to Rock, so that might be for an interesting honeymoon, Mace. Of course, people will raise their eyebrows when they find out.
Yes, anyway, back to wrestling talk.
After wrestling talk. So, yeah, Bret Hart coming back. What else do you expect to see tomorrow night?
I don't think they need anything else.
The main story, of course, being Bret and the potential confrontation between him, Vince, and Sean.
Well,
but,
yeah, there's three big payoffs here. Is it Bret? Okay. If Bret comes in at the first of the show, 9 o'clock, and you hear the guitar riff, that's one. Then if then 10 o'clock hits, he runs into Shawn Michaels. No, like, physical confrontation, just a stare down in the back would help. And then he doesn't actually face Vince face to face until the very end of the show. But you've got potential for three enormous moments that people have been waiting to see, and I expect them to space it out. I don't expect them to blow it all, or just by having Vince and Shawn at the ring at the same time, then Brett walks out. Because then, you've wasted it then. Spread, they stand to gain a lot more.
Surprised they spend at least the first half of the show building up the arrival of Bret Hart.
I think with the monumental amount of hype that this is getting, and it's not being hyped really all that much by WWE. I mean, it's for an event like this, it's been relatively low key from the WWE. The majority of the hype has been coming from us, the wrestling fans, and the internet wrestling community and the wrestling media. I would not be surprised if WWE gave us Brett at the beginning of the show, because most guest hosts come out at the beginning of the show. There's no reason to not do that now with him.
Well, there's more reason to do it, because TNA is going to have a one-hour head start on their audience.
That's what I said. There's no reason to not put Brett out at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Well, if they don't have Brett come straight out at the top of the show, then they've fucked up.
Right, and Rock in our chat room says their commercials say one of the biggest Raws in history. Yeah, they do. But, for the normal amount of WWE hype you get behind something like this, you didn't get a month and a half of build-up. They didn't start those commercials a month ago.
Well, they all, I don't know, they've been teasing it for that long as much. I mean, with guest hosts asking, okay, where's Bret Hart? Ever since Dennis Miller and the Slammies.
You get what I mean, though.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
There isn't the normal amount of WWE hype and build up behind it, which is odd. But
however, just to interrupt your foot sex bug and pick up on that, yeah, no, there hasn't been the amount of hype and build up because, well, they haven't really had the time. The decision to go all out with this came on the heels of the announcement that Hogan's going to debut on TNA, and they're going to go live head-to-head against Raw. It's got Vince scrambling, saying, well, we're going to top that. How can we top that? The Rock isn't big enough. Steve Austin is almost there. Let's talk to Brett. Now, here's the thing. Bret Hart and WWE, specifically Vince, were in negotiations a couple of months ago. People didn't know about this. They fast-tracked his appearance on Raw, is what they did. Now, I'm not privy to any information on whether or not it was already decided he was going to sign the multi-month contract that he did, but I'm assuming that is the case. Now, the whole thing, ever since it was Dennis Miller mentioning, why don't you bring back Bret Hart, starting with the internet dirt sheets, doing the rumor thing, leading right into WWE actually posting it on the website in advance of a whole bunch of stuff that they had come to agreement and terms with Bret Hart. It's pretty much built up its own momentum in a very small amount of time. It's a snowball going straight down the fucking hill, and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and going faster and faster. And last Monday night's Raw was the first Raw, and I was saying this last night on CB Radio with the Trey Dog from Wrestling News Live, who's in the chat room right now, by the way. He and I were talking about it, and I said, this is the first Raw that I've watched in years that had me excited for the next episode. And yeah, Spug, before you go there, that I'm a Bret Hart whore, yada, 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 Canadian.
I wasn't even going to say it, dude.
I just wanted to be preemptive, just in case.
No, I listen to me. And You cut me off earlier before I could get to my actual question that I was going to ask that I thought was a damn good question.
Well, I was just, like, filling this in and then throwing it back to you.
I wasn't going to make fun of you for being a Bret Hart shill or suggest anything of the sort.
Well, you'll excuse me for thinking that might be a possibility, seeing as you've been known to do it on occasion.
I have been known to do it on occasion, but tonight is not the night for those sorts of comments.
Okay, take Bret Hart out of the equation and what they did last week. Again, take Bret Hart completely out of the equation. Shawn Michaels breaking DX character coming out and confronting Vince McMahon as Vince McMahon is announcing the co-host for next week, demanding that he gets that that rematch against Taker at WrestleMania. It's just one of many things that built it up and made me think, fuck, I really want to see what's going to happen next. And like I said, I have not experienced that watching Raw for years.
None of us have, dude. None of us have. And I asked Omega this earlier, and I will stand by it because I think it's true. That we are 4 days in, or 3 days in, to 2010. This is tomorrow's, you know, show with Raw. We will be 4 days in. With Bret Hart appearing on WWE and appearing on Raw, something that we've been waiting 13 years to happen, is that not the biggest moment in wrestling history in 2010?
Well, seeing as we're only 4 days in, yeah, it's the biggest moment in 2010.
No. I mean, you go from January 1 of 10 to December 31st of 2010, barring anything catastrophic, TNA buy or WWE buying out TNA, somebody big dying like Hogan or Flair, is that not the biggest moment of the year in wrestling? In wrestling,
yeah. Basically, he's asking, what does it take to top something that big?
Well, it's going to be dying.
You know, it's going to take something of monumental proportions. Hi, Will. Good of you to join us.
Morning.
Good morning. Get your coffee, wake the hell up, and we'll get going here.
Man, I tell you what, there's nothing like being in such a dead sleep that you don't even remember getting up and turning your alarm clock off.
Wow.
I've had that morning.
So. But yeah, you know, that's a hell of a question. What would top it? You know, will Chip chiming in with John Cena dying? Well, you know, I kind of expect that from Will. But seriously, the only thing bigger might be WWE buying TNA. And
that's what Spud kept saying.
Yeah. And
that's what I said. I mean, that's what I said to Omega, was that the only thing that I could see being bigger was that WWE would buy out TNA. And even at that point, I don't know if it would be bigger, because WWE has proven in the past that when they buy out a company, they crush it. And they crush it till there's no decent memory of the of that company left, a.k.a., you know, example, ECW and the current product that they're feeding us. And the fact that we've never gotten a best of WCW DVD like we did with ECW.
Uh-huh. Well, that might be a third of the length of the best of with WCW.
There were some... If you go back in WCW history and go back to some of the stuff before Bischoff took over, there were some really good matches and moments in WCW history. And I'm not the... And I'm not a big WCW fan.
Oh, I used to watch it just as religiously as I watched Raw, which was a lot easier for me being Canadian than you guys down in the States, because we had Raw live on Mondays, and they didn't show WCW Monday Nitro live up here.
We down here had the two sides.
Yeah, we were able to watch Raw live, and then the next night we got WCW. And then there was nothing on Tuesday unless you went to one of the cable sports channels and caught, like, Superstars or whatever they would call it, Vintage Collection or whatever. And then Wednesday we wound up with Wednesday and Thursday were two different wrestling shows. And then WCW had their world show on Saturdays. It was like 5 days worth of wrestling. And you would think that the market would have been saturated, but they all... Good numbers.
not in the 80s and 90s simply because of the it was a simple supply and demand. No.
Even now we've got 5 days of wrestling.
The companies were going to supply, I mean, we demanded it, and the companies were going to supply it, and there really wasn't anything to it. It was, you know, we were going to get our wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the only difference is today I do think it's oversaturated. I think it's just a little bit too much.
Today's day and market, it is.
Yeah. Well, a couple of weeks ago, I found this out today, a couple of weeks ago, I made mention of watch. You'll see the Hart Dynasty show up January 4th and watch them get a big-ass rub from Uncle Brett. I led that into speculation, at which point, I don't know if you were on your Percocets or not. I think you weren't. But you tore into me over that one, Spug, if you remember.
I did. Yeah. I tore into a lot of people over that one, and I still don't think it's going to happen.
Well, guess what? The Hart Dynasty has been called to Dayton, Ohio for tomorrow night.
Aha.
In the old face. They're going to be there.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't mean they're going to get a rub. I do not think that the Hart Dynasty is going to ride the coattails of Brett because it doesn't do anything.
He just doesn't want to be wrong for a Canadian.
No, yeah, the Hart Dynasty to date has done nothing but toil away in SmackDown. They haven't even been able to get on a pay-per-view, as far as I know. And we're not talking like a main event pay-per-view match. We're talking they can't even get on a curtain jerker match for a pay-per-view.
They barely made it onto Bragging Rights.
So now, why, answer me this, why should this group be given a monumental push, like a rub from Bret Hart, if they haven't done anything to deserve said push? It would be like Hornswoggle beating Undertaker at WrestleMania and ending the streak.
Oh, come on, it wouldn't be quite.
No, that's a bit of an exaggeration.
Awesome.
Yeah, it would be awesome.
I'd laugh my ass off for weeks.
Hey, with Taker, the Cruiserweight champ. Oh, wait.
Hey, with Taker's bad knees, can you imagine him trying to run around and catch a midget in the ring?
You know, Hornswoggle would have the edge there, but I want to submit something to you guys, all of you guys, and this is just in reference to Spike saying, don't believe it, don't see it happening. Last night on CB Radio, the Trade Dog called in, and we basically made the big announcement for those of you that missed CB Radio last night and didn't catch the archives. Tomorrow night, Wild Talk Radio is presenting a super show with primarily myself and Nick Anthony from OWW Radio and Wrestling News Live's Trade Dog to talk about tomorrow night's, you know, Monday Night Wars Part 2, as it were. And we're all going to get in on the action and fun. Trey brought something up last night that made me think, and I see the feasibility of this absolutely with absolute crystal clarity, thanks to Trey. Okay? Now, Hart Dynasty, tomorrow night, shows up at Raw. All they are doing is getting FaceTime. They're not wrestling or anything like that. Bret Hart, guest host of Raw. We all know he's got a contract till April 10th. Okay? We all know he's got a contract April 10th. Trey says, who's to say Bret Hart, as guest host, can't make a couple of trades like some of the other guest hosts have and name himself manager of the Hart Dynasty to further the angle of him being with WWE? And this comes from Trey.
See, I would like that. I could
see that happening after Mania. I can see that happening after Mania.
Here's the problem. You're bringing Bret in as a guest host, but he's on a 4-month contract, so they're not just going to let him toil away and just, you know, bide his time until WrestleMania. They're going to use him for all he's worth. So why not give the Hart Foundation, or the Hart Dynasty, rather, a little bit of credibility and add Uncle Bret to the group for a little while and help build him up? I mean, if he's there in a managerial role, it totally makes sense to me.
Because here's what you're going to have to do. First of all, you're going to have to make Bret a heel. Because right now, right now, DX or Generation X, who the Hart Foundation would mainly be feuding with because of, one, Shawn Michaels, and two, they have the tag champions, are major faces. Three, you're going to have to turn around and make Vince McMahon a face again. Four, when you brought Brett in, when you bring Brett in tomorrow night, you're not going to hear a chorus of boos in Dayton, Ohio. You're going to hear nothing but a standing ovation for Bret Hart. So it's kind of like trying to turn John Cena heel in the middle of his ginormous run right now. It's not going to happen. You could probably do it after Mania. You could do it after Mania, because if you redid the Montreal screwjob angle to a point where we know it was worked, like, you know, at Mania, say Shawn Michaels costs Bret the match when he's trying to help him or something, then you could bring up the Hart Foundation to Raw and have Bret manage them and go at DX and Shawn.
Okay.
Then it would make sense.
Well, at the same time, Bret's going to be coming in as like the you know ultra face. We all know that. Vince was super heel at the time, you know, because thank you to the Montreal Screwjob, he became Mr. McMahon, the big bad owner of the company. Shawn Michaels had his fans, he had his detractors, the whole thing. Brett he still does. Brett's coming in, and everybody is going to be like, oh my, you know, they're going to mark out. There's absolutely no doubt about it. You're telling me that WWE, any wrestling promotion, has never, ever done an immediate about-face, turning a good guy heel basically in the blink of an eye? Now, think about it.
All right. They did it with Hogan. Yeah, WCW did it with Hogan. But Hogan had been out of the wrestling spotlight for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
So he still had his fans, but it was easy to do it with Hogan. The thing that's going to be difficult to do with Bret, and it's not the fact that, yes, he's been out of the wrestling spotlight for a very long while, but it'd be like trying to turn Hogan heel at the height of his popularity in the mid-80s. It would be damn near impossible, and you would turn around and screw up the greatest opportunity at this point in time that your company has to get back on top of the wrestling world and to provide us with a compelling product that are going to keep people watching week after week if you go about and say, all right, yeah, we know Bret's coming in, we'll give him his one night of FaceTime, and then we're going to immediately do an about-face and make him a heel. You ruin everything that you just worked for and fast-tracked in the past month and a half.
you're applying logical analysis to something that we have on more than one occasion complained is missing logic. Let me just follow through with me on this one here, guys. Okay, Bret Hart's coming in as a super face, the beloved wrestler returning. That's going to happen. WWE, it's not a secret. They've been trying to think of ways of turning Shawn Michaels heel. They've been toying with the idea without doing any offense to his born-again Christian beliefs. This is a perfect foil. He doesn't have to be the asshole he was back in the mid-late 90s. And no disrespect to Shawn, but even he admits he was a little out of control then. I mean, come on, think about it, right? This is a perfect way of turning DX heel without putting permanent negative heat on them, and they can all of a sudden turn around and become the good guys again after April 10th. Or even you know, it doesn't have to last that long. All they have to do is run a program for a month. Maybe this is a chance for WWE to actually start pushing the Hart Dynasty. Maybe they're on the cusp as far as the bookers are concerned. That it's...
Then book a match.
Eh?
Then tomorrow night, If the Hart Dynasty is going to be there and you're going to give them a rub, which, quite frankly, they don't deserve at this point because they haven't done anything on SmackDown.
Well,
they didn't. They haven't. You haven't gotten a SmackDown. You haven't gotten on a card for a pay-per-view from SmackDown. They barely made, as Will said, they barely made bragging rights.
Why?
There hasn't been any storyline or push behind them to put them on a pay-per-view. Sheamus, fucking Sheamus, got a WWE title match before the New Heart Foundation could even get a tag team title match. What does that tell you about their feeling towards this tag team?
That doesn't say anything about their feeling toward this tag team at all whatsoever. A push has to start someplace. I'm saying, who's to say that it doesn't start tomorrow?
If it does, the first thing I want to see, if they're going to give them a rub, if they're going to give this tag team a rub, then tomorrow night, as the curtain closes on that program, they better be announcing D-Generation X versus the New Heart Foundation at Royal Rumble for the tag titles. That's the first thing that you do.
Well, Trey in the chat room, Trey's got an excellent point. You know, don't be too surprised if we find out that Heart Dynasty winds up with an instant credible member in the body of Chris Jericho, who's also going to be at Raw tomorrow night, and we might see a mini screw job happening there with the tag team rematch. You know, he's got a perfectly valid point. Omega, where do you see all of this going?
I hate to counter that point, but to be honest, Chris Jericho's way above that group. I mean, he's credible, yeah, but he's a little too credible. The team needs to work themselves up, it's hard for me to argue this because, yeah, I am in favor of Bret Hart joining them up as a manager. I don't think necessarily turning him heel would do it. I more see him almost as a drill sergeant role, trying to whip them into shape. They might not be happy about it, but they might be begrudgingly going along with it. I mean, there are ways that you could keep Bret a face and keep them heels and still give them a decent rub.
By the way, Trey, you know the phone number? Call in, buddy. You don't have to sit there and frantically type in a chat room. Call in.
Don't worry. Some people are shy to be on the radio.
You know what? To quote Fred Smoot, I don't think Trey Dog's ever met a mic that he didn't like.
Yeah, on that note, yeah, the last person on the planet you would equate with the three-letter word called Shy would be the Trey Dog from Wrestling News Live, who has graced us with his presence in the chat room, which pleases me no end, and I'm really looking forward to all of us discussing wrestling with him tomorrow night after the show's over. This is, like I say, this is the most happy and excited I've been for an episode of Raw in Christ almost a decade. Everybody, you're listening to Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We're going to take our first quick little time out of the evening. We're going to come back. We're going to take a look at what we could possibly expect with TNA tomorrow night and Hulk Hogan. We want to know what you're going to be watching. I'd like to say hi, Miss Destiny. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be back right after this.
We'll play out like a scene, straight off the silver screen, so I'll be holding my breath right up till the end, until that moment when I find the one that I've been forever with. Nobody wants to be the last one there.
Thursday night, Wild Talk Radio Network becomes a place where anything goes. Prepare to be sinful. Thursday, 10:30 p.m. Eastern. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is a public service message from your friends at the Wild Talk Radio Network. Saturday nights at midnight, the Wild Talk Radio Network presents Cigarette Butts and Bandanas, a show that has a reputation to sometimes take things a little too far with their use of vulgar language and explicit content. We here at the Wild Talk Radio Network are here to tell you that we will not stand for this any longer. We are going to make sure that Cigarette Butts and Bandanas cleans up its act.
There
will no longer be any use of vulgar language. There will be no more explicit content, and no one will be offended when they tune in to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Saturday nights, midnight Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thank you for your support, and continue to listen to the new and improved Cigarette Butts.
Screw that. Join us Saturday nights, where we will take things to the extreme, the only way we know how, with the no limits and uncensored nature of the one and only Cigarette Butts and Bandanas, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every single Wednesday night, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, Fire on Ice, a brand new webcast based around the NHL's Calgary Flames. You set the topic, and you lead the discussion.
Oh, Hadlin with Scott shoots. What a stop by Kiprasov. Rebound. Oh, an even better play. They score. Dustin Boyd cutting the lead to two.
Jump into the play and you get to choose who winds up in the dumbass club. Fire on Ice, the weekly show about the hottest team playing the coolest game on earth.
This is Lacey Von Erich. You're listening to The Network, Tim Steinbilt, Wild Talk Radio.
And welcome back to Wrestle Talk Radio, WTR Sunday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. That's get over-exaggerated with Wild Talk, because talk gets kind of wild on this network. Once in a blue moon, I'd like to say welcome at this point in time to the one and only Trey Dog of Wrestling News Live, who's joined us for a bit of the discussion. Trey, how you doing tonight, man?
Well, I am on a couple happy pills, so I'm doing all right, to be honest.
You going to share?
I've only got one left, brother, and that's for tomorrow night.
Damn. Okay, well, I'll just stick to my vodka and Coke.
There goes the wellness policy.
We had a wellness policy?
No.
I never did well with tests anyway. Hell with it.
Yeah, I've always cheated, so gotten by with that. So, Trey,
I want to make a prediction.
Go for it.
I don't know who this is going to piss off or not, but the Hart Dynasty will be the tag team champions by the end of the month.
Oh. That quite possibly could spark debate, but it won't be with me, because that's, you know, the direction that I'm looking towards. And it's not wishful thinking like one or two people I know might think. Believe it or not, I'm not going to jizz in my pants when I see Brett on TV. I'll be really happy, and I'll have a little smile, and I'm thinking, great to see him back, but I'm not going to get...
And he'll have the tissues ready.
I'm not going to
get... He's not going to jizz in his pants. You know why? Because he won't be wearing any pants.
Yeah. If you think about it, it's one of those deals that if you stop and you really put some brain power to it, which I don't really have a lot of right now, but when I was sober and thinking about this afternoon, somebody's got to take those belts off DX before Mania, because there's going to have to, I mean, you have to have a title match for your tag team titles on Mania, especially when they're unified, you know. So
they didn't last year.
Were they unified last year?
Doesn't matter. It was advertised on the card. And yeah, I know there's the little disclaimer of this card subject to change, but when you advertise it, and then like moments before Mania, you pull it. It makes no sense. And look, WWE shit on the tag titles long ago, Trey. You and I both know that.
Oh, I know. But they've brought them back to where they're kind of a focal point now with the unification and the fact that it's the get-out-of-jail-free card. If you're a SmackDown star, you can bounce around. They're basically just using them as a marketing tool to sell merchandise. And that's all they've done with them this year, or the end of this year anyway. But what I'm getting at, it's not so much that you need to have the title matches, but if Shawn is going to get Taker and Triple H is going to get Sheamus, which is where it's looking to lead so far, if all these roads pan out, somebody's got to win those belts. And if it's not Jericho's show tomorrow night, and Jericho goes to SmackDown for, which this is what scares me, is the fact that he's banned from Raw forever. I mean, forever's a, like Prince said, forever's a mighty long time, and I'm here to tell you, that's, you know, a big star that you're eliminating from your number one program, unless they hope the WWE fan is retarded and forgets again, like they've done so many times in the past. But to say that Jericho's no longer going to be on Raw, that's a big deal. And with that being said, you bring in the emergence of Bret Hart, who's going to distract Shawn anyway, whether he's, you know, even at ringside. The whole thing with Shawn and HBK, they're going to play it off as Shawn's going to be distracted. He's got more than what he should have on his mind. Triple H has already said, don't get involved. That's going to be a factor because he did get involved. Somebody's got to win those titles before Mania. I got a feeling Jericho wins those belts tomorrow night just to keep Jericho from being forever banned from Raw. And eventually, the Hart Dynasty will factor into this. But to get those two guys to where they could do singles matches, and even to where you may even have, we mentioned it last night, Hart might put Shawn Michaels through a series of do this to get to this point, do this to get to this point. I'm in control of what you want. I hold the keys to the car you want to drive. If you want Taker, you got to go jump through my hoops. And one of them may end up eventually being win the Royal Rumble.
Well, it's the same thing that Paul Heyman did to Benoit the Royal Rumble a couple of years ago. And Benoit got the first entry and he ended up running the table.
Right.
But I can't sit there and think. I can't honestly think that WWE would, one, not give us some sort of interaction between Vince and Bret, because as much as people want to see Shawn and Bret, people want to see Vince and Bret more.
Well, that's where I think Bret makes himself a member of the roster, despite the power of McMahon. Bret comes out before the show's over with and has that confrontation with McMahon and says, by the way, before this show's over and I still have power and there's nothing you can do about it, I'm making myself an active member of the Raw roster. And I think that's where Vince flips out and, you know, loses his mind, and they put up the little WWE logo as his music plays, and we go off the air.
And when you look at all of the different avenues they could go with this tomorrow night, they've got 3 hours to bring everything home. And you almost think that 3 hours is definitely not enough for just with thoughts of, that are running through my head anyway, about what they can do. And Spike, you're saying that they really want to see Vince and Bret Hart confronted.
I can guarantee you that the majority of WWE fans, yes, are looking forward to what's going to happen with Shawn and Bret. But the ones that remember the screw job and saw it live on television like I did, like Trey did, like so many of us that are here in the chat room and on the this phone call now, saw it live, we want to see what is going to happen between Bret and Vince.
Well, what I want to do is I want to talk to Will for a quick second as a wrestling fan who's going to be able to watch Raw tomorrow night because John Cena won't be anywhere around. Will, what do you see? What are you looking forward to seeing? Bret, Shawn, or Bret, Vince?
Oh, we're here? Gee, I forgot. I'm going to say Bret, Shawn, simply because we know that at least backstage, Vince and Bret are at least on good terms, working terms. But when it comes to Shawn Bret, you know, that's a very volatile situation between the two of them.
Well, that's the huge unknown. Yeah, we don't know what kind of relationship, if any, those two have.
Closed doors. The three of them have already kissed and made up. I'll tell you that right now.
I believe that.
Yeah, Vince. Yeah, Brett wouldn't sign a contract if he knew he was going to have to face Shawn Michaels every week on Raw.
Well, I mentioned that a few weeks ago when it was first brought up.
You got to be careful. Once they blow through the Brett and Vince thing with Shawn, or with Bret Hart, once they blow through Vince and Shawn and the confrontation that everybody's waiting, there's really not much left to do. So they need to pace themselves on that and spread it out.
Oh, we guarantee you they will. I'm not saying they're going to go through it all in one night. But to set it up for a longer term, you know, yeah, the Shawn Michaels controversy and confrontation is going to be compelling television, yes. But I think in the long run, because of the war of words between Shawn or between Brett and Vince, the back and forth and the he said she said and all of this, and that Brett wasn't going to show up to his own Hall of Fame induction because Shawn might have been there, and you know Vince had to tell Shawn, hey, don't come here. You know, I think that is more compelling because. That's the mafia boss who gave the hit, who gave the order for the hit on Bret Hart in 97.
Well, you definitely have a bit of a point there, but Mace, get yourself into this. What are you looking forward to more for Raw tomorrow?
I'm just looking forward to actually sitting there and watching it at the same time everybody else does. Rather than waiting till like Wednesday afternoon when I'm in the middle of doing OTL. But for the show, I just hope that they're not going to focus so much on the whole build-up of Brett and Vince and Shawn and everything, make that rule the show. I'd like to actually see some goddamn wrestling.
Do you think you're going to see wrestling on TNA?
Yeah, probably got more chance on TNA than on Raw.
What point were you trying to make there, Trey?
You're going to have to see some wrestling. They got 3 hours to fill.
And only two matches announced. Both women's matches.
Yeah, what the hell?
Hey, Kim, on that Knockout Eve thing wasn't that bad.
Hey, I'm telling you right now, TNA, and I said this on Monday night, if this TNA show was on Thursday, dude, you'd be calling your friends and having a party like it's a pay-per-view. You'd be having a party like it's WrestleMania because they're pulling out all the stops. They're bringing in Hogan. They're bringing in Bischoff. They're bringing back Angelina Love. You know, there's just so many. Don't get me wrong, Bret Hart being gone for 12 years, the screw job and his butt hurt and everything else is intriguing. But, dude, there's just so many different things going on with Hogan and what can be done on TNA. I mean, even off the Twitter page, my Twitter page, I saw Shannon Moore and Jeff Hardy are going to be there, you know. Sean Waltman's going to be there. Now, Scott Hall, if he's there, I just hope he's in a good enough condition that he contributes. But, you know, there's just so many things that they can do because, like I said, once you get past the screw job and Bret Hart's butt hurt for Vince and Bret, or for Vince and Shawn, what's left?
Okay, well, let me ask you this, Trey, and feel free for everybody to answer. You've got somebody who could be going to jail for a very long time who's going to be in attendance, and Jeff Hardy, on federal drug trafficking charges. You have a D-list wannabe porn star who likes to sniff coke off of his girlfriend's cock in Shawn Waltman. You have an alcoholic who can't put the bottle down long enough to enter rehab in Scott Hall. You have Hogan, who's so wrapped up in defending his son's ridiculous actions and trying to molest his own daughter that he couldn't step away from the wrestling limelight for a few years to take care of his family problems. What... you know, yes, Bret Hart and Shawn and Vince, that could be a very long payoff. It could be a very quick payoff. We will find out tomorrow night. But what is more compelling? 13 years of what has become wrestling legend and history between those three, or watching that group of has-beens take a ring and a company that can barely hold a 1.5 rating on a week-to-week basis, and their shows are pre-taped. You know they're going to come on, and they have fantastic wrestling with the likes of Samoa Joe, AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels, Kurt Angle, Desmond Wolfe, a.k.a. Nigel McGuinness. You can't hold a captive audience with that program, yet you can with WWE and the shit that they put out.
Let me just ask Will and Omega here, guys. With TNA's impact tomorrow night, do you see that these guys have the chance to have more happening for them than WWE has? Like Trey pointed out, after Bright comes back and they have the confrontation with Vince and they have the confrontation with Sean, what else is left? What about TNA? They have been kept keeping extremely tight-lipped on everything that they've got planned. Is it to the point where maybe they have been too tight-lipped? What do you think, guys?
Absolutely. I mean, the only matches you're promoting right now are women's matches and just a bunch of unconfirmed rumors. Then there's no reason for me to give up the time that I would normally tune into Raw to tune into TNA. And they've got to do a lot in that first hour in order to convince me to stray away from the return of Bret Hart, which, there's only a couple shots in their gun with Bret Hart, but they're some of the most anticipated shots in wrestling history. But you've got to do a lot to get me to look away from those shots. You've got to have, like, AJ versus Samoa Joe, or Angle and Wolf, or, you know, a high caliber match like they're capable of putting on, right at 8:50, all the way to 9:10 or past. Get me to completely skip over that first appearance of Bret on accident, and just let me go, well, I missed it, too bad, I'll stick to TNA.
Let me add something to Omega's metaphor real quick.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
TNA is coming to the fight with a machine gun. Absolutely. But WWE is coming to the fight with a bazooka with about 3 rounds in it. And those 3 rounds could do a hell of a lot more damage in a short amount of time than a machine gun can.
Well, right now, the machine gun's loaded with blanks, though. They're not telling us what they're doing.
Guys? Right? Guys? You may be missing the whole picture here. And if I'm TNA, and I know that I'm coming into the Big Bad Wolf's backyard on their night, and I know that they know that I'm coming, I think the biggest point is, if you have to flip from TNA to go see Bret, then TNA's already won. Because if you give them 5 minutes of your viewing time on Monday night, that's what they're after. They're not saying we don't want you to watch the WWE ever. They're just saying, hey, check us out. You might want to start watching us on Thursday nights. They know they're not going to beat the Big Bad Juggernaut, but they're not going to come out and say we're going to get our asses kicked either. Have you ever started a fight with somebody and said, hey, dude, I know you're going to whip my ass, but I'm going to punch you first? No. They're coming in to scratch and claw and get anybody to watch that will watch. And once they do, they're hoping they've hooked you enough on what you've seen before you give Bret Hart your attention that when you're sitting at home on a Thursday night, instead of flipping channels, you'll give them a chance and watch their product. They don't give a fuck what you watch on Monday from there on out. They could care less.
Until they wind up doing another live Monday night show, which is something that's been speculated. But, Will, got any comments about all this?
I was going to say, well, I agree that they've not done enough to at least promote what the hell they're putting on their card. I know Thursday they at least promoted the first Steel Asylum on television for the X Division, but I agree with Omega in that they've done nothing to try and pull an audience besides just the name of Hulk Hogan. Mm-hmm. And I said it when we first heard, when we first talked about Brett getting signed on the show, that that's going to be must-see TV. Anyone who knows anything about the screw job is not going to miss that the moment it starts up. So TNA has got to do something to knock it out of the park before WWE hits the air on Monday night.
Which, yeah, that just reinforces what Trey Dog said just a few moments ago. I'll guarantee you the programming for the first hour is going to be off the hook. And somebody somewhere said they should start off the night with the X Division, with an X Division match. I think that was that would probably be the smartest thing they could do. But Mace, do you think TNA maybe made a mistake by not having original programming leading up to this show?
What do you mean by original programming?
Testing the water, going live once in a while to test the water and see what they could do.
Yeah, it would be something they should have done earlier, but at the same time, there are some people who think that in order to swim, you go jump in the deep end.
Well, you know, like meaning an actual impact, not knockouts. You know, they didn't have a Christmas show, for example. They had like a 3-hour best of something or whatever.
Hmm. Well, yeah, it would have been good if they did some live shows before this, but in the end, this is the choice they made.
Yeah.
But one thing that I've been wanting to mention is, you know, so far all they've decided to put forward is the knockouts matches.
Do you guys remember
for their best division? So what's wrong with Sorry, Trey.
I was just saying, do you remember there was a time before the internet where you tuned into wrestling just to be surprised?
Yes,
exactly.
Exactly. And well, there's nothing wrong with holding a little bit back to give that sense of surprise. It's smart booking and a smart business decision. But Trey, I want to ask you something. You ever picked a fight that you knew? I mean, before you picked a fight with somebody, you knew you were going to whip their ass, or you thought at least you were going to whip their ass.
9 times out of 10.
Okay, so when TNA made the decision to go live on January 4th with Hogan and Bischoff, they knew, or at least thought they knew, that when they were going to go up head-to-head with the Big Bad Wolf and walk up to their door, knock on it, and then punch them right in the face, that the Big Bad Wolf was going to fall down for that night. Which makes me think, and I was talking to Omega about this earlier, that TNA has something in their back pocket that they haven't let out yet that is going to trump Bret Hart on on Raw. And the only thing that I can think of with that happening was something that had been bantered about for a while and rumored for a while of Ric Flair coming to TNA.
Well, you might want to watch out for Ric Flair appearing on Raw. I mean, he hasn't signed a TNA contract yet, and Vince has got more money than Dixie, and he can make a phone call and a check that Vince or that Rick knows will clear and knows where to go to get it. Familiarity is a fucking great thing in this business. You know, I mean, I'm trying to think of an analogy here, but the best way to make sure Flair's not going to show up on TNA is to book him yourself.
But do you really think that Flair, at this age and day, really has the draw power over the first appearance of Bret Hart on WWE television in 12 years?
I'm not even a Bret Hart fan, and Bret's more interesting to me than Flair. I mean, Flair's already retired and tried to come back and cried and bitched and moaned and wasted a great WrestleMania Monday Night Raw send-off to come back. And I just, he's kind of like Brett Favre to me. Retire or don't, but quit fucking making us, you know, watch it every 5 minutes.
I think that the combination of Hogan, Bischoff, And as much as I bag on them, the reuniting of the original NWO with Hall, Nash, and Hogan, because of how influential they were and revolutionary they were to wrestling at the time, could be a bigger draw to most in a short time span, long enough to give TNA a slight victory in the ratings war, because rating systems have changed. They don't, you can go hour by hour now. You can go segment by segment now.
Well, they're now calculated on the quarter hour, which is every 15 minutes. So,
mm-hmm.
And then put together as overall hour one, hour two. And in tomorrow's case, hour three. However, you know, once again, it's pretty much like what was said earlier. TNA has the best shot of gaining new viewers from tomorrow night's programming by putting on their best, most spectacular pay-per-view worthy show in the first hour tomorrow night.
Yeah, I would agree. That backs up Trey Dog's point. I would agree with it. I mean, they don't have to beat Raw. They can't beat Raw. But if they can pull just a few people over to Thursday, you know, they win. They've accomplished what they went out to do.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and at this point in time, people are speculating on what they're going to or who they're going to see tomorrow night in TNA. A lot of people are hopeful that RVD will show up, but he put out a blog there. Now, is this a misdirection? Because he's been known to do this before. He said he's going to be at home watching the show with the rest of us. He's not going to be there. Nobody has made any mention of RVD traveling anywhere. Nobody spotted him going anywhere or anything like that. You know, Shannon Moore and Jeff Hardy, you know, there's Twitters up all over the place that they're going to be in Orlando tomorrow night. And they're saying, oh, we're just going to be there to watch the show. But then Dixie Carter says, you know, who else is going to be at the party? Right? So you can expect the likelihood RVD won't show up. But then again, it could be another RVD swerve. Like I said, we've seen him before.
RVD swerved TNA the opposite direction before. I can remember seeing a TNA logo on his website for a little while.
Yeah, he was messing with the fans on that one.
So, and you take a look back to when Paul Bearer debuted with The Undertaker on the comeback. He denied everything for months on end, and then all of a sudden he popped up on pay-per-view. This could be the same thing with Rob Van Dam. If the guys really want to, they can still pull the wool out over our eyes, and we'll still believe it.
Hogan said in an interview recently with IGN that he's called every wrestler that's in his phone book that still had any juice left and asked them if they wanted to be a part of wrestling again in some shape, form, or fashion. If they did, great. If they didn't, fine. But he said, look forward to see a lot of guys from the past.
Well, honestly, I think if Hogan called Jeff Hardy and asked, do you have any juice left, he's got the wrong impression.
Wrong kind of juice.
Think about this, though. The WWE has nothing to win and nothing to gain. They don't. TNA has everything to gain and everything to lose. And Spug, you asked me earlier, do I think that TNA thought anywhere in the back of their mind that they were going to come out of this as the winner and knock the WWE out? No, I don't think they ever did. You got a guy like Eric Bischoff who's been in every meeting since this thing has transpired, and look how long it took him with an open checkbook to even get to the top of the ratings before they held the WWE down for that lengthy period of time. He knows as well as anybody, you're not just going to waltz in there and knock out the champ in one night. Rome wasn't built in a day, and they know that.
It absolutely wasn't built in a day, but this is a fight. Let's make no bones about it. Whether tomorrow night is a one-time deal or the beginnings of a multi encounter, you don't even start to pick a fight unless you know you can win. My daddy taught me that, and Trey, you're a good old redneck boy too, so I know your daddy taught you the same thing.
Yeah, but I by the same token, as much as I'd like to make this a Monday Night War, I don't think that it is. I think TNA just wants to walk in there. You know, it's like a guy going to the bar. You hope there's some hot chicks, but if not, you'll just settle down and have some drinks until one of them gets hot. You know?
Sounds better than beer goggles on Take a Pig Home Night.
Well, Vince, seriously, is just going into this with the sole purpose of saying, look, we're in this for the long haul. It's not going to happen overnight. But if we can get just, you know, I don't know what numbers would be good to even use, so we'll just use small numbers to make sense. If they could just get 30 people of the 100 watching Raw to tune in on Thursday, then they've won. And with what Hogan's saying, his motivation for coming back, besides obviously a paycheck, because he lost it all in his divorce, and he's been very open about that in every interview he's done. He was taken to the cleaners by Linda. He's obviously going to say, it's number one, I'm in there for the paycheck, but number two, he's still saying he's in it for the wrestling fan, and look at what it made Vince do just by them bringing in Hogan. Look at what Vince has done.
I was about to say, Vince obviously thinks that Hogan still has some pull with the fans, because there's just, for Bret Hart to be brought out now, the same night that they're bringing back Hogan, you know, Vince obviously has some faith in Hogan's drawing power still, and I think that's acknowledgement by Vince that they could make a dent in his little monopoly he has going.
Well, you know, I mean, the best thing for all of them is good competition.
It was proven in the 90s.
Oh, definitely. I'd love to see some competition.
Well, sorry, Trey, go ahead.
I mean, so the big winners in all this are us. And we've already won. We get a Monday Night Impact with Hulk Hogan making his debut. Angelina Love is coming back to the company, which, for a long time, man, that Knockouts division was carrying TNA, and the beautiful people were at the front of it, you know. Not only did you get that, but you get the surprise of, that's what I was saying, back in the day before Internet talked about every show, that was one of the main reasons you tuned into a WCW pay-per-view when their numbers were bad, was just to see what WWE star Bischoff could buy next. And to have a show that's going to go for 3 hours, who's to say Tommy Dreamer doesn't show up? Who's to say that RVD doesn't show up? Diamond Dallas Page. You know, you've got Sean Waltman confirmed. You've got all these other things, all these other what-ifs. You know, it just, like Spug said earlier, you know, with all these people and their personal problems, raise your hand if you're driving down the road and there's a massive car wreck if you don't stop and watch.
Well, I think if this doesn't turn into the massive car wreck with all them has-beens and addicts and such, that if this does turn into some sort of revival of the wrestling wars of the 90s, that it's not going to be fought with a checkbook like it was when Eric Bischoff was at the reins of the Rival, because TNA doesn't have the backing of someone like Ted Turner. So, if TNA is going to even attempt to pull what Bischoff did, they're going to have to do it through a quality product and not with their checkbook.
Well, I mean, the Spike executives, from what I've heard, have already said to Hogan, now this is through Hogan, so take it with a grain of salt, but they've already said they're willing to do anything it takes to make this work, number one. Number two, if they're remotely successful in their Monday night fight this Monday with Vince, they're going to give them automatically one Monday night a month to go head-to-head. And then if that continues to draw success, then they're talking about eventually a major move to Monday night. But like I said last night, I'm the biggest TNA fan they've got. Most of you know reasons why. But to me, before you start worrying about your neighbor's grass, you better make sure that you've got a lawn first. And they haven't been taking care of their own yard like they should. So,
let me jump in here and say this. With this whole thing, especially on TNA's side of thing, has been about gaining attention, gaining the fan to turn around and say, hey, what's this over here? Oh, look, it's TNA. They're wanting attention. They're wanting to try and reach out to a market. Hell, take a look at what's been happening since they announced the dates of the two shows going up against each other. Everybody's been talking about it, and one of the big topics of it is what can TNA do to even put one shot into the juggernaut that is Raw. So even if only on a tiny scale, they've already got themselves a small victory before they've even gone to war.
Exactly.
Well, if they're going to keep those fans, it's instead of just that one shot to look at Hogan and go, ooh, Hogan, and they want to keep those people, they need to do what it was for me. I started watching TNA because, and I've said this before on the show, I saw the most amazing thing to me at the time, which was Petey Williams executing the flip pile driver. And I stayed watching TNA because after that, I saw stuff like AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels, I saw the Ultimate X. I saw all that and thought, wow, that was cool. I want to see more of it.
Well, that's why Dixie signed Hulk Hogan. She said in an interview that was posted today, and he even said this himself. His main role with this company, yeah, I mean, you've got him. You might as well put him on camera. That's you know, you don't have to be a genius to figure that out. He's not going to be an on the roster wrestler. If the time comes for him to lace him up once in a blue moon, he will. But he's there to take what they've got and try to make it even more larger than life than it is. He's there to get guys like AJ Styles to really develop more of a character. Guys like Abyss. He's there to work with Abyss and guys like that. You know, he's there to make television look better. He's you know, if you had to go to one guy, I'll give him credit. If you have to go to one guy in this business that's seen it from before Vince owns a company, when Vince's daddy owns a company, to where the product is today, he is the dinosaur that can tell you about the Ice Age, because he survived it all, and he's the one guy that's been around through it all. So if you're going to a guy as a consultant-type position that you're going to use on TV just as a storyline character, somebody that can juggle both roles and has been there, done that, and ripped off the T-shirt, he's the guy.
Here right, definitely. If you're going to get one guy to draw people in, it's Hogan. But in that same respect, it's Hogan. He'll get names, but the problem is, will he just stay as that role where he's just there in the background getting attention, or is he going to put himself at the forefront again?
In the background, he's going to be involved in major storylines. I mean, we still don't know who's running shit there. You got Dixie Carter now on camera. You got Mick Foley trying to track down Hogan to get his idea on what's going on. But then at the same token, Mick Foley's a major shareholder. Jeff Jarrett's back. He's going to be, you know, in the mix because, believe it or not, whatever's said on the internet, Jarrett still has power within that company. It is his baby. I mean, but even though on camera and as far as television storylines, the power's kind of being split four ways. You know, Hogan's going to be an involved character with storylines while he does what he was brought in to do.
Let me ask this to the masses. A couple of years ago, we had the opportunity as wrestling fans to witness what could have been a great storyline between Michaels and Hogan. And I remember listening into WNL at that point and listening to Trey rip apart Vince and Hogan for their egos and now not allowing that storyline to be what it could be. Who's to say with Hogan and his ego, and we all know how big Hogan's ego is, that he's not going to do that to some up-and-comer in TNA that could carry that company on its shoulders and lead it to the promised lands, like a Styles or a Samoa Joe or a Daniels?
Well, if you think Hogan's not eventually going to have that strap around his waist, you're an idiot.
I never said he wouldn't.
He's speaking of egos, he's like the Dudleys. He wants to be able to say, everywhere I've been, me and my Hulkamaniacs were the main. We were the main champion at least at one point. Now I think he'll be a transitional champion, and I won't have any problem with that because of the history that it will make. But he said it himself that, you know, he learned a lot from his overseas trip
to Australia and the other places he went after Australia for a little bit. But he said that his body was so sore that he didn't think he'd ever get back in the ring again. And if he did, it would have to be something very special to make him put his boots on. Whether he sticks to that or not, he's Hulk Hogan. What can we do? But, you know, it's not like he's going to pull a Jeff Jarrett and kidnap the title for a year and a half either.
No, we've seen what they did with Foley.
Statistical's one of them, but stupid isn't.
Yeah, well, right. We saw what they did with Foley. I mean, who really thought they'd ever see Foley as a world champion again? And then, bam, there he is, TNA world champion out of nowhere.
Well, I think they did that when they signed him. They said, hey, look, Nick, if you'll come over here, we'll let you run this, we'll let you, you know, play this role as the new major shareholder. Kind of like, you know, when Linda McMahon gave Stone Cold all the power and he was the sheriff riding around the four-wheeler. You know, we're going to let you have all the power. You're going to make all the matches. Eventually you saw Jim Cornette work his way out the door because there wasn't anything there for him to do at that point because Foley took over all the power. He was the main man doing all the booking and all the storyline, you know, shit. But they said, by the same token, we'll give you a title shot and let you be champion for a little while just so you could say that you were champion and just so should this company, TNA, someday have a long life ahead of them, like the WWE, history books will be made, DVDs will be put out about the history of the TNA World Championship, not the NWA title, but the TNA World Championship, once it's lived a long enough life, and guess what, Mick, your name's going to be on there. So Mick said, where do I sign? Because he's not an idiot.
Truth be told, it makes me think about when Savage joined TNA years and years back. Well, not years and years, but, you know. And they got into it because Savage wanted a month-long title reign. And they were like, no, we're not giving it to you.
Well, that was also the time that they were trying to get Hogan to show up, too. And Jarrett went to Japan and did the guitar shot on the head of Hogan and said, I'll take TNA to Hogan if he won't come to me. That all fell apart because Hogan showed up at the asylum and saw how small it was. And I don't know if you've ever been there. I have been. That's a rinky-dink roach coach motherfucker.
Oh, that's, yeah, that's a closet.
That makes a Motel 6 look like a Holiday Inn.
That's no small feat.
You know, so, I mean, Hogan got there and said, you know what? There ain't no way I'm going to be a part of this. This is a joke. Well,
I wonder if that pisses Jared off.
From a guy that's been to both, the impact zone is not, it's bigger than you think it is when you're in there, but it's also a lot nicer. And Hogan's not in the same position he was then either. He needs the money. Let's just call a spade a spade. But they were talking to Savage when, and for those of you that didn't see that in TNA's history, and they don't show it, I don't know what the word is for it. There's a scientific word for it, but it looked like somebody that had been lifting weights on steroids their whole life, and somebody just, you know, stuck a needle in their ass and deflated them.
And they just, atrophy.
Yeah, atrophy, that's it. He had no muscle buildup in his arms. He was wearing a black turtleneck with black gloves, black pants.
Black trench coat.
You couldn't see his body at all, but you could just tell that he was, he looked like the guy Macho Man ate, to be honest, you know, because he was so small. Apparently, now I can't, as JSK would say, I can either confirm or deny, the story I got was that Hogan was backstage when Savage was there, and that was when that whole Be a Man Hogan thing came out and all that bullshit. And I think that this Savage just said, well, if you're not going to give me what I want and you're going to make me work with this motherfucker, I'm out of here, basically. But, yeah, his ego was pretty intense. He wanted, like, a month-long title reign and wanted to beat some of the younger guys, not just beat up on the old has-beens.
Yeah, he wanted to beat Jarrett, be champ for a month, and then drop it back to Jarrett.
Yeah, that was at a time when Jarrett was worked up to be practically invincible between guitar shots and hidden helpers.
Man, that was just after Paul and Nash had come in.
From a diehard TNA fan, I could say that that even got to where it was wearing on me, where everybody that came into the company was on Team Jarrett.
Yeah, I couldn't stand that.
So-and-so debuted on Impact, but then they came out and they helped Jeff Jarrett win. And it was just so repetitive, you know.
I think it wore on everybody.
Until Christian showed up, he was the first one that was anti-Jarrett when he got there.
Does Raven count?
I was treated, so I guess it doesn't help.
Well, before we take our next break of the evening, I got one question for everybody. I'm going to go around the horn, and I want Trey to answer this one last. As far as TNA doing a live Impact tomorrow night, what is the one mistake you can see them making with all of this? Will?
Short, lackluster matches, weak main event, Vince Russo booking.
We said one thing, Will.
Yeah, well, I did say one thing. Omega, what about you?
In the first hour, not putting on a match that involves any two of AJ Styles, Desmond Wolf, Daniels, Samoa Joe, and Kurt Angle.
Okay. Mace?
Believe it or not, overhyping Hulk Hogan's arrival, having 20,000 interviews where it's like, what do you think about Hulk Hogan appearing tonight? You know, do one or two promos or whatever and then just let it ride.
Interesting. Spud?
Not using Hogan properly in the fact that putting him out there, the moment that they hit the airwaves at 8 o'clock, when the majority of people aren't going to be watching because they're not going to start tuning in until 9 o'clock when Raw hits.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now,
is Raw 3 hours tomorrow?
No.
Is it? No?
Is it?
I think so.
2 hours.
It's a 2 hour. It goes on at 9. Yeah. TNA has an hour on WWE before WWE even hits the airwaves.
I thought it was a 2 hour.
Yeah, no. If TNA's smart, they save Hogan for hour number two when they're going head to head with Bret and Vince.
Okay. Now, there's a reason why I let you till last, Trey, because you brought this up last night, and I just want you to I just want to see if you remember it. The biggest mistake TNA is going to make with tomorrow's Impact.
Wow, I was trying to think of something new. I didn't know I was going to be tested. What did I say last night that would be a mistake by TNA?
Well, to give you a hint, it had to do with Thursday's Impact.
Oh, well, that's a common thing. I mean, the fact that, you know, they're going to replay the entire show again on Thursday instead of doing another live edition of the show. Or a pre-tape show, they could do it on Tuesday and have it McCann by Thursday. But the biggest thing to me is, if I'm a diehard WWE guy, but I'm on the fence and I'm thinking maybe I want to give this TNA thing a chance, and then I find out, oh, they're going to replay the entire 3 hours on Thursday, why would I miss 1 minute of the show I know I already like?
Mm-hmm. And that's an excellent point and something that you and I both agreed on. They should follow it up immediately with a fresh show and not the replay.
I was thinking when you asked the question along the lines of, I guess I misunderstood the question. I was thinking what will they do, you know, to mess up while they're live as opposed to what they're used to doing taped. But as the answers came around, I think the one thing they should do, they probably won't. Let's remember what the purpose here is. Let's remember what the goal is. And that's to get as many people that are used to watching Raw to come over and give your product a chance. If I were TNA, I would take every person on my roster that was somebody on theirs and put them in a match in that first hour.
And they did something like that a while back. I pointed it out to Rock. It was like an 8-man match, and all but like one person was someone who had been fired from WWE.
I would just do it to where, and I would do it to where you do it the right way, to where you say, you know, hey, if you were a fan of these guys and you wonder where they are, we've got them. That's one thing I would do. I would definitely have an X Division match to show off your X Division stuff, but I would end the hour with, if it were me, I would end the first hour a little early with my matches, and I would have Desmond Wolfe and Kurt Angle fighting leading up to the kickoff of Raw, and I would end it in a finish that requires, you know, somebody with authority to make a ruling. And that's when you start your who's in charge, and you bring out Hogan last to kick off the top of the hour.
Now, that would be a damn good way of doing it. That's for absolute certain. Okay, guys, it's time we take our next break of the night. Coming up, everybody, don't forget we've got WTR Trivia Challenge. We're just going to have a little bit of fun here. We're going to put all the guys head-to-head against each other. I'd like to thank the Trey Dog for making a much vaunted appearance right here on Wrestle Talk Radio. Trey, always good to hear you talking wrestling.
See you guys tomorrow night for the big show.
We're looking forward to it. Everybody, stay tuned. We got a little bit more coming your way. We're right on the other side of this quick little timeout.
It's impossible. Impossible.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Otaku Talk Live.
I got a 15 on the intelligence roll.
Okay, what are you doing with it?
Trying to find a Slinky.
Okay, you find a Slinky, but it's one of those cheap new plastic ones.
This one. Go to the top of the stairs.
I yell, watch out for paint cans.
Duck.
Okay, since he's smart enough to say duck, he dodges the duck that swings down from the top.
Duck and dodge paint cans, ducks, and any other flying object.
Okay, you also ducked the free pussy that flew by, but that's okay. You're now at the top of the staircase with a Slinky in hand.
Put the Slinky on the top stairs and tip it over.
I get our following to, well, not our, but Shaniqua's following to members, and we all start going, go, 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 go.
All right, hang on a second. Dun. The Slinky stops halfway down.
Oh!
God, I hate when that happens.
You know what? At this point, I'm going to roll for the steal and the win.
Wait, what?
LAB Rule, Chapter 7. Subsection 15.
Oh, geez. Yeah, you're right. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, roll a d20.
I hope Bob Barker doesn't own this castle.
For more geekiness, tune in to Otaku Talk Live, Tuesdays, 11 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Run a webcast or have a podcast, audio blog, etc., and you need the occasional liner, sweeper, bumper, or intro? Check out VOLiners.com.
VOLiners.com is a free service bringing the internet broadcasting community together. Membership is free, and you can log in anytime.
Simply post your script request and let another community member take it from there. It's that easy. Then come back and check your post and download the completed audio.
It's also a great site to add to your portfolio. Gain practical experience by helping your fellow members out and recording their requests.
Remember, it's 100% free to join and use.
VOLiners.com. Voice overs, liners, sweepers, and bumpers for your broadcasts. Join today.
The Bang Cartoon Radio Hour is now on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You got some email?
Yeah, after watching Mark Sanchez scarf down a wiener on the sidelines, Jeff Garcia immediately demanded to be traded to the Jets.
You want the latest NFL news? You won't get it here. You want NFL stats and analysis? You won't get it here.
Skip Bayless talks to Chad Ochocinco week 8.
The Steelers and the Ravens will wind up better than you. I've got you losing down the road here.
Losing what?
Baltimore? At Pittsburgh?
Chad, please.
Skip Bayless is like my crack.
If you want the best and funniest NFL podcast on the internet, join us for the Bang Cartoon Radio Hour, Friday nights at 8:30, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Bang!
Well, well, well. It is I, the quintessential stud muffin, Joel Gertner, and you're listening to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Are open wide. By the way, I made it through the day. I watched the world.
And welcome back to Wrestle Talk Radio WTR Sunday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I'd like to take time out to thank absolutely everybody who's tuned in so far. Hopefully you've been entertained and interested and intrigued with our little discussion, Bret Hart to WWE and Hulk Hogan to TNA Impact. I thought that was a really good segment, boys. Well, two segments, actually.
Was I the only one that thought Trey sounded like Matt Hardy chewing on marbles?
All I can say is, yeah.
So tell me, Tim, is this the last that we're going to hear about this Monday Night War?
Is this the last we're going to hear about this?
That's the last that's going to be talked about on the network?
Hell no. It's going to be talked about tomorrow night, dude, after the fact. Didn't you know that? Didn't you know that we have got a super show where as soon as Raw and Impact go off the air?
No, I didn't. Why didn't you tell me about it?
It either slipped my mind or you missed the staff meeting.
I always miss the staff meeting.
There you go. Okay, so let's see. Raw goes on at, 9 o'clock Eastern, so we're looking at 11 Eastern, if I remember correctly, because it's here at 7 Mountain Time. And pretty much just about after that, because there's going to be an overrun, and the show's actually going to be up and running before Raw is finished for me, because there's a 15-minute delay on the broadcast here in Canada. But as soon as that's over with, you guys are going to be joining me along with Nick Anthony and the Trade Dog from Wrestling News Live, who was on for the last segment there to talk with us a little bit of wrestling. But we're going to take a look at exactly what wound up happening tomorrow night on both shows. So which one are you guys going to watch? I don't know about you. I'm going to be watching both. How many other channel tuners are there going to be here?
I've got two TVs set up in my room.
You're good to go, Will. What about you, Omega?
I'll be flipping through I'm going as old school as I can. I'll be flipping through during commercial breaks and during women's matches on Raw. And I'm also going new school because I'm going to have a TiVo recording TNA.
There you go. Okay. Mace, you're going to attempt to actually watch it live one way or the other?
Yes, I have been working diligently with the technical minds here at the WTR network and have devised a way to get both shows going at the same time, so I shall be watching both and giving myself a headache.
There you go. Going to have to be able to do the separate eye movement things like the chameleons do, I suppose. What about you, Spug?
He's going to be on Percocet. He won't know what's going on.
Sorry, I was talking to my wife who walked into the room.
Oh, well, hi, wife.
She can't hear you. I'm wearing headphones.
Well, tell her I said that, you jackass.
The Canuck says hi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah, and tell her thanks.
Don't ask me how I automatically thought about
it. Because he's a dirty Canuck. What did she ask? Don't ask me how I automatically thought about him when you said the Canuck, and I said because he's a dirty Canuck.
As opposed to what kind, Spug?
A damn dirty Canuck.
I like what Trey said in the chat room. The sound of Trey's voice made Spug's wife come in and ask for another baby.
Those of you who don't know the story, Spug's darling daughter Madison, who thankfully doesn't look a thing like him.
Yes, she does. You haven't seen her recently. Yes, she does.
She didn't last time I saw her. Anyway. Anyway, Madison was conceived during an episode of Wrestling News Live.
Yes, she was.
And, you know, that kind of sort of made everybody a little bit nervous when it came to you. They didn't know if it was her that got turned on by Trey or if it was you.
Actually, it was JSK.
Oh, okay. So there you go. And yeah, God rest JSK. I miss that guy. He was absolutely fantastic.
We all do. Unfortunately, the only thing that Trey's turning on is a road grader with the sound of his voice.
Oh, behave.
Oh, have some respect. Everyone on this show right now is here because of Trey. Have a little
absolutely.
Respect.
Hey, I'm just throwing shots out there. You know,
he's throwing shots. Good nature.
We're a lot of playful banter, aren't we? Are we not?
No, I'm waiting for it to become playful. Anyway, are you guys?
It was playful. I was joking.
There you go. Trey's got it right. He's the godfather of wrestling talk, and don't you forget it. There you go. Are you guys ready to play a little trivia challenge?
No.
It's going to be
no.
Fun. Omega?
Yeah, why not?
There you go. I knew I could count on you for the dissenting vote, just like our great debates. By the way, the great debate will...
I don't get asked.
Well, I was getting to you in a minute. Will you please let me finish?
Tim doesn't like your opinions, Doug. We all know this by now.
I know.
He's got to make up for the delayed pimp earlier that Mace tried to throw at him.
When I want your opinion, I'll give it to you. Now, because you went and fucked up my train of thought and my flow, I forgot what I was going to say, so go ahead, Spug.
I'm ready for trivia, too. That's all I wanted to say. See,
okay.
I'm happy now.
Wonderful. Well, Rock and I spent a long time today trying to figure out how we're going to break this down and who's going up against whom. And after a couple of coin tosses, Spug is paired up to go, he's set to go head-to-head with Mace, while Will and Omega are going to be doing battle with each other in the trivia. And some of these, not all of them, deal with wrestling, but they're all kind of fun, that's all. Starting off, we're going to go Spug versus Mace.
All right.
Yeah, and?
Okay, so Spug versus Mace, and I'm going to think of a number, and I'm going to tell Rock what the number is, and the closest one to the number goes first. So Spug, figure out what the number is.
Is it 1 and 10?
Between 1 and 10, sure.
6.
Okay.
Because I believe...
4.
Oh, God damn. Spug, you were about to say you believe something?
I was going to say 6, because I think that's how old Owen is now.
No, actually, Owen is almost 10. He'll be 10 on April the 11th, as a matter of fact. So,
well, But I'm going to need a ruling from Rock. He's got the number, and should we go closest without going over or what? He's writing. He's writing. Closest to without going over means, Mace, you get to go first. The number was 5.
Yay.
Somehow I always get both.
Okay, first question for Mace. How many times did Bret Hart win the WWE Championship?
Two?
The answer is 5 times. So, no points for you. Spug, your first question for the night.
Fucking Canadian with these Canadian questions.
In what year did Hulk Hogan win the WCW World title from Kevin Nash with the infamous finish?
1997?
1999. Bonus points if you know the day.
You didn't watch WCW.
It was a Sunday. Does that count?
I think Will means the date.
Yeah, I know what Will meant. And it wasn't a Sunday.
No, it wasn't a Sunday. It was a Monday. It was on Nitro.
It was January 4th.
Yeah, that's a good guess one. Because it's right.
Finger Poker Doom ending on TNA.
There you go. That will
It is the anniversary.
There
it
you
is
go.
11, yeah. Like Rock said, 11 years to the date.
Yeah. Okay, Mace, your second question. By how much percentage does a man's testicles increase when he's aroused? This question came from Cindy Sin, by the way.
What?
What the fuck? I'm going to instantly pass on this one because I don't fucking sit there and study fucking medicine like she does.
Just guess. Just say something. You can't pass.
25%.
No, your balls increase by as much as 50% when you're all excited and... If you don't take care of it.
You tell me what guy would fucking look down to see what size his balls are when he's aroused.
Oh, look, the half again is big. Well, it's the AC/DC song, you know, I've got big balls. Anyway, Spud, your next question. Mm-hmm. What year did NFL Monday Night Football debut?
1970. Oh, God, what was it? 70. I think it was 72, because the Browns and the Jets played as the first game on Monday Night Football.
You're off by 2 years. It was 1970. My God, this is really not going well.
I knew who the first game was, so fuck you.
Okay, so Mace, here's your next question. In what year did Australia's last execution take place?
Last execution. 9. Fuck if I know. Don't even know my own history. How bad's that?
Wow.
I'm going to say 1966.
We were off by 1 year. No, it was the same year that here in Canada we had the Montreal Expo. The year that the French...
I don't know anything about Canada.
It was the same year that the French president got kicked out of the country for saying Vive le Québec. It was 1967.
I think we're going to have to get used to hearing that buzzer tonight.
Yeah, maybe. It's quite possible. Spud, your question. Who was the first UFC heavyweight champion?
First UFC heavyweight champion?
Yep.
I'm going to say... Hoist Gracie, because back in the days of the original tournament, the winner of the tournament was also named champion.
No, you're incorrect. The correct answer, we were looking for Mark Coleman. Mark Coleman, the first ever UFC heavyweight champion.
Whatever. You can see how much I care.
There you go. Mace, again, don't yell at me. I didn't think this question up. What percentage of men have had sex in the workplace?
Depends on what type of work. If it's the porn industry, 100%.
I like that answer.
You know, technically, that's a technicality. We are excluding the porn industry.
No.
No, you just said. In the workplace, porn industry is included in the workplace. So screw you. Technically, it's correct. So shut the fuck up.
Okay, excluding the porn industry, what percentage of men...
No, I'm not answering. Get fucked. Technically, I'm correct. So screw you. I win.
You're gonna be wrong by default if you don't at least take.
Fine, I'm wrong by default. Screw you.
Are you sure it might be the only right answer you get?
Okay, well, wrong by default. That's all there is to it. Sorry, if you're not gonna take a guess, the answer is 56%. Spud, your next question: what type of pet does Captain Archer have on Enterprise?
Captain who?
Captain Archer on...
That's not a good start.
Star Trek Enterprise, the TV series.
Oh, God, I never watched that fucking show. I'm going to guess a bird.
Oh, God, I am such a geek, I could name the species.
Okay, yeah. Go for it.
Really?
I believe it's a beagle.
Okay, now, that was a little bit too specific. We were looking for dog.
I don't know. You... That's like asking Cindy Sin who was in her bed last night. Like, she knows his name.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Mace, your final question. What is the name? What is the name of a... What is the rain cloud's name? What type of cloud is the rain cloud? Mace?
What?
What type of cloud is a rain cloud?
Cumulonimbus.
Holy shit, he got one. Yes.
I think the chorus of angels would have been more appropriate at that point.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Okay, so yeah, Nimbus would have done, but it's a cumulonimbus cloud. Final question for Spud. You got to get this one to tie for the tiebreaker. Good luck. I know who came up with this question. How many calories are in a teaspoon of semen?
Thanks, Cindy.
No Googling.
I'm not. I'm thinking.
Okay.
Because this was covered in anatomy when I took anatomy in high school. Trying to remember back to anatomy though. Oh God, I want to say like 160.
Five.
Hooray!
So
hooray for Cindy Sin and her sexual knowledge, which trumps everybody else's.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, thank you to Cindy Sin for those questions. I'm kind of surprised that we had them, because this is not a sex talk show. That happens Thursday nights, practically every Thursday night, at least Thursday nights where Cindy doesn't have to work till 11:45 p.m. Central Standard Time, which is what's happening this coming up a weekend. But anything goes with your host, Cindy Sin. It's a sex talk show. You might want to tune in and catch it, because it gets a little racy. All right, so Mace moves on. Now, up against each other, Will and Omega. We're going to do the same thing here. I'm going to give a number to Rock. Rock's got the number. Will, what's the number?
One.
Omega.
Two.
Rock, you want to tell him the number? The number's three. Congratulations, Omega.
Don't one. Eat your bed.
I don't care whether I go first or second. I just wanted
the
to screw
is
Will
right.
up.
Dick move, you asshole.
You that's never, like you right. never bid. You never bid $1 first.
Yeah, that's like the Price is Right. How much do you bid? $5.99. How about you? $6.01. How about you? $6.03. How about you? $1. Actual retail price, $4.95.
And you're all dicks.
You're all a bunch of assholes. Yeah. All right. So, Omega, you're up first. Who was the last WWE European champion?
Rob Van Dam.
And Omega draws first blood. Will, who won the first Royal Rumble?
Fuck me. Jim Duggan.
Wow.
You've already done twice as good.
You guys have already done, actually one and a half times better. But anyway, what's the average number, Omega? What's the average number of erections per day for a young man?
Oh,
or an old man, if it happens to be a boy boy.
Jeez, I might need, for my youth, I might need triple digits here.
TMI.
Yeah, TMI. I'm going to say 6.
No, the correct answer, on average, guys get 11 boners a day.
I was going to say 327.
Well, we weren't talking about specifics, Will. Speaking of which, it's your turn, Will. What was Craig McTavish the last NHL player to play without?
A cup?
Is that your answer?
Sure.
No, the answer is a helmet. He was the last NHL starter to play a regular season or playoff hockey game without wearing a lid. So we're still tied up at 1, everybody. Here we go. Potential tiebreaker. Omega, what pop singer is known as the Material Girl?
Madonna.
Why do you know that?
I don't know.
Don't ask, don't tell. Okay, so currently
it took me ahead of you. I don't care where I got it from.
There you go. 2-1 in favor of Omega. Will, here's your question. Every episode of Seinfeld contains an image or reference to which superhero?
Fuck. And I don't give a shit about Seinfeld. The Flash?
God, I'm a dork.
No.
I know that one too.
Okay, Omega, go ahead. You're not getting points for it, but
yeah, it's Superman.
Yep. Every single episode had either a little statuette, a picture, or some kind of a reference to Superman, who happens to be Jerry Seinfeld's favorite stand-up superhero.
Fuck Jerry Seinfeld, that boring his ass hack.
There you go. Omega, here's your chance to put a bit of a stranglehold on it. True or false question. The sperm of an ox is longer than the sperm of an elephant.
Repeat that again.
The sperm from a mouse measures longer than the sperm from an elephant.
Oh, this is true or false.
Yep.
50-50 chance. I don't even want to know this. God. Say true.
Fifty-fifty chance, and you guessed pretty good. Okay. Now, Will, you got to get this one to stay in the game. True or false, it's legal to have sex without a condom in Nevada.
I'm going to say false just because that sounds fucking absurd.
And Will is starting to make a game of it. 3-2. Omega's still in the lead. Omega, this is your chance to drive a stake in Will's chances of moving on to the next round. Your question is this. What cartoon hero was in love with sweet Polly Purebred?
Underdog.
Oh, motherfucker.
And And Will, your last question, and I just have to warn you that again, this one comes courtesy of Cindy Sin, who helped
pass.
Yeah, you can't. What is the measurement for the smallest erect penis?
Spugs.
Spug is not a measurement.
It's my answer.
The answer is 1 centimeter. Gross. All right, congratulations to Mace and to Omega. You guys have moved on to the final round. Are you guys ready for this?
Can we make a rule of nice indie questions?
Okay, after tonight, next time we do the trivia challenge, no more sex questions, okay?
I expected wrestling shit. Jesus Christ.
I said only some of them were wrestling questions. But what we're going to do here, Omega and Mace, you got a grand total of 5 final questions. It's like a speed round. The one with the most correct answers in the first round gets to go first. That's you, Omega. If you miss the question, then it defaults to Mace, who gets a chance to steal the point. And are you ready?
I am ready.
Mace.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, my God. Omega, first question. Goldfinger, arch enemy of James Bond, planned to invade what?
Ah, God. I will punch you in the fucking face if you don't know this.
I was never a James Bond fan. That's the problem. God, I'll just say the U.S.
You are dead to me.
Okay, Mace, your chance to steal the point.
See, I'm in the same boat as Omega. I'm not a big James Bond fan.
What the fuck?
So I'm going to say because his name's Goldfinger, it has some gold, so I'd say Fort Knox.
Okay, 1-0.
Clues.
There you go. 1-0 for Mace, and I have to ask the chat room at this point in time, please do not post answers until both contestants have a chance to answer. If you know the answer, if you're right or wrong, if you can hold off, that would be fantastic. Next question goes to Mace. What was the first televised sport in the United States?
Who the fuck came up with that? Ask the Australian the question about American television. You guys have got to be out of your fucking mind.
It just defaulted to you, I think.
Baseball?
Can you repeat that?
Hello?
Mace, can you repeat your answer?
Baseball.
That's right. 2-0 for Mace. All right. Question number 3. What is Russia's unit of currency, Mace?
Russia, unit of currency, the ruble.
So that's like 3 in a row that you've got here. You win, but...
Yeah, I'm not sure I agree with the system. I didn't get a chance to come back from that.
Okay, so next question anyway. Celebration of the Jewish New Year is known as what? Mace.
Jewish New Year. Feliz Navidad. I don't know.
I know this. Okay, Omega, give it a shot.
Cocksucking day. What do I care?
I know the answer.
Well, go ahead, Spug.
Harash Hashanah.
Oh, you're close. It's Rosh Hashanah, not Harash.
That's a little bullshit
Rosh Hashanah
system. No chance to come back whatsoever.
Okay, well, we'll revamp the game for the next time we play it. This is an open one, and you can once again thank Cindy Sin for this one. By the way, before we get to it, I'd like to congratulate Mace. Mace is the inaugural Trivia Challenge champion.
Yay!
Congratulations, Mace. I was expecting some applause or something like that, but nah, that's all right. Okay, so here's a open question, and even the chat room, except for Cindy, can participate in this one, and Sydney can't because it's her damn question, for Christ's sakes. All right, what's the average speed of an ejaculation?
Oh, for the love of Christ.
Everyone, to the Googles.
No, I'm not
Googling that. I'm not having that in my browser history. that'd be the one day someone would actually see it.
Somebody goes and checks your browsing history.
Omega.
Not his real name.
How come this is on your computer?
Nobody wants to try the answer?
No.
28 miles per hour.
I'm sure that will be useful someday.
There you go. Yeah, I don't know how, where, or why. But the next time you hear sex-related questions on the Trivia Challenge, they will happen on Anything Goes with your host, Cindy Sin. That was different, that's for sure. Everybody, you're listening to Rust Talk Radio, WTR Sunday night, right here. Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be back really on the other side of this quick little timeout.
Break me down. You got a lovely face. We're going to your place. And now you got to freak me out. Scream so loud. Getting fucking laid. You want me to stay. But I got to make my way. Y'all crazy bitch, but you fuck so good I'm on top of it. When I dream, I'm doing you all night. Sex is all down my back to keep me right on. Hey, y'all crazy bitch, but you fuck so good I'm on top of it. When I dream, I'm doing you all night. Sex is all down my back to keep me right on.
Get ready to get sinful Thursday nights here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey, honey, take a walk on the wild side.
Join our own Cindy Sin.
She's a babe.
As she opens up and talks about anything.
Anything.
And everything on her mind.
You can ignore me if you try.
Nothing is taboo. From sex talk to food to sexy cars, clothes, you name it.
Hi there, big boy.
Do I make you horny?
Oh my God.
Anything goes. You can get in on the fun and ask Cindy about anything at all.
She tests very high on the strokeability scale.
By calling in during the show.
Thank you for calling.
Anything goes, Thursdays at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Oh, I'm a biatch, baby.
Wrestling talk has nowhere left to hide.
Running the Ropes is your definitive source for wrestling news and a more realistic perspective on a wide spectrum of topics.
No politics, no script,
no fake gimmicks.
Join Maverick and Nick on Running the Ropes, the only wrestling-based radio program in the San Francisco Bay Area, every Thursday at 6 p.m., right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, the evolution of online entertainment.
professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indies, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month's click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Nick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talent today. And the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Bryce
Derry.
Candice LaSalle.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time.
Give me back the Boogie Wiggleman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson. Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith.
Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling. Online. It's the site for pro juice. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Wild Talk Radio is sponsored by Tripology. Book your next trip with Tripology. If you're finding it's time to get away, you have an important upcoming business trip, or if it's last minute and you need to get there fast without any hassles, call Tripology today.
I'm sure.
If you're working too many hours and can't find the time to plan that badly needed vacation, then stress no longer. Tripology is here to help. Tripology will help you get to where you need to go, whether it's for an important business trip, a last-minute flight out to see a loved one, or that much-needed and overdue vacation. Now is the time to make Tripology your travel agent. Call Tripology toll-free at 1-866-289-9950 or log on to www.mytripology.com and plan your trip now.
Hi, everybody. This is good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
Business is about to pick up here.
And you're tuned in to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's going to be a slobber knocker.
You know, bringing us back from break always works a lot better when I unmute the goddamn mic. Shit, I hate forgetting about that.
And I don't need the old
the
jokes.
The old age.
Yeah,
in.
Shut up, I told you. I didn't need the old jokes, you bastard. None of the crap about the old jokes, eh?
Well, I don't know about you guys.
Why
don't
we ever listen to what you say, Tim?
Yeah, pretty much never. Which it starts to piss me off when I'm sober. That's why I stay drunk whenever you guys are around. Anyway, the show so far to this point, guys, I've enjoyed it for the most part. I think we had some really, really good discussion on both the first and second segments with Bret Hart and Hulk Hogan, and then we basically just tried some goofy shit with the WTR Trivia Challenge. Unfortunately, excuse me, unfortunately, It's a horrible thing.
Hold on, Omega. Were you just saying that you got screwed over then?
Yeah, screwed by a Canadian.
And not me. I didn't come up with those questions, and that's all I'm going to tell you. And I think that Rock is being a suck-up if you read the chat room. So, But that's just my opinion. You can do with it what you want. But anyway, on a serious note, guys, very sad news in the world of professional wrestling this past week. We lost another one. Dr. Death Steve Williams is succumbing to his battle over cancer.
That's supposed to be a shock?
It's not a shock. It's a sad thing. It's something not related to most of the stuff that we've been talking about over the last several years. It's still a sad thing. You guys got any memories of Dr. Death at all?
Him wrecking the Monday Night Raw set with JR when JR's first belt with Bell's Palsy came about.
Yeah. What about you, Mason?
Probably memory I have of him is during the Brawl for All.
Mm-hmm. When he got beat by what's-his-name? Bart Gunn.
Yeah, that'd be it.
Yeah, that's my predominant memory of it. That kind of sort of, in my opinion, the Brawl for All was something that WWF at the time never should have done. But, Omega, what about you?
See, it's unfortunate because I never really got to see much of Dr. Death, so I feel like I can't contribute as much as I really should to this, but it's hard losing a wrestler like that that I hear a lot of people talking about, and I feel bad that I don't know more about him.
What about you, Will?
I've never seen much of him. All I've known is through word of mouth.
Well, I do remember several matches that I saw with Dr. Dusty Williams in it, and he was a good wrestler, and what would have been great was to see him wrestle Stone Cold Steve Austin, and the winner gets the name Steve Williams.
But that's Steve Austin's real name is Steve Williams.
That was like a grenade. I lobbed it out there. 8 seconds later, you picked up on it. Yeah, it's just something that would, just a cutesy thing. So, yeah, it's unfortunate he passes away from cancer. It's a tragedy. And our condolences go out to his family. You were going to say something, Spud?
I'm so desensitized to it. Look, it's tragic, cancer, yes. But honestly, I hate to sound so callous about it, but it's just another wrestler that's gone.
Well, gone under different circumstances than all the other ones.
Yes, but again, it's another wrestler gone, and that's sad, but I've gotten so desensitized to it over the years with Eddie and Benoit and the laundry list of them that I don't even know if it matters anymore.
Yeah. I'll
sort of say this, and I'll just sort of say it straight out the way I thought it. And as much as it's sad that it's another wrestler death, to be honest, I sort of feel a little bit relieved that it was from something like that than, oh my God, it's possible steroid use throughout his career that's caused all this.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll take my little non-caring there one step further. It's another gone to a disease that should have more money poured into it than there is. And cancer is one of the most funded and researched diseases out there.
Yeah. But it's still not enough. That brings me around to my son, Owen. I am nothing but proud of that little guy. He took the initiative all by himself at the age of, he was either 5 or 6 years old. And out of the blue, out of nowhere, he decided that he wanted to He wanted to do his part to raise funds to fight cancer. And so every single year since he first thought this up on his own, he has done things to raise sponsorship money to help fight cancer. He's had his head shaved. He's competed in, like, you know, the marathon walks and the whole bit like that. And because he's done that, I have gone and created a website that it's not finished yet. It will be finished, hopefully, in time to for all of us to help raise money to donate to give to, you know, for Wild Talk Radio to sponsor Owen the next time he goes and does his cancer fundraising, whatever it is. And then we can all say, well, this is from all of us with the Wild Talk Radio Network and our listeners. And so I'll give you more details as the weeks come by concerning all of that and how you can donate and get in on helping us to raise funds to contribute towards finding a cure for all cancers. The Wild Talk Radio Network here was recently touched, as a matter of fact, by cancer. With our very own Cindy Sin had a little bit of a flare-up there. She's doing okay. Everything's all right. But and I hope you don't get mad at me for saying so, for talking about it, Cindy. But, yeah, Cindy had a little bout with cancer, I think, for the second time. So practically nobody, it's just proof that practically nobody on the planet, for the third time, sorry, Cindy, it's just proof, like I was saying, that practically nobody on the planet is not touched in one way or another by this horrible disease. And I just want to put it out there, everybody keep it in the back of your minds. The website will be launched full blast, and it'll give you complete details about Owen's cause. We're calling it Owen for the Cure. And I'm doing this as a proud parent, and I really hope that at least some of you get behind me on it. And let's all chip in and see what we can do to help finally eradicate this this killer.
Well, now that we've brought the mood of the show down, we should probably bring it back up, don't you think? Yeah.
That's the idea.
Okay, well, I think that the best way to do that is to do what we do every week at the end of the show. We used to call it Rapid Fire. We changed the name. We gave it a new intro. We're talking quick hits. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits.
Wow.
That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits.
All right, here we go. Quick hits. For those of you playing along for the very first time, we're just going to ask two questions to each of the co-hosts. And they got like 60 seconds to come up with an answer, either a legit one or whatever. And we're going to start off tonight with Will. Are you ready, Will? Just say yes.
I don't have a choice.
There you go. Okay, if a pro wrestler decided to buy you a car just because you were his biggest fan, who would it be and what kind of car?
Shawn Michaels, and I don't give a shit what kind of car as long as I had a vehicle.
Okay, that works. Mace, what retired wrestler would you be interested in seeing start up a wrestling promotion?
Retired wrestling promotion. Can't say Hulk Hogan.
Okay.
You know what? To prove all his boastfulness about how good he is, and he reckons that he could have done better in the WWE and all that shit, Ken Anderson. Just to shut his own fucking mouth.
Okay, Ken Anderson. Spud.
Mm-hmm.
tell us how you would spend $50 million. And remember, it has to be wrestling related.
Has to be wrestling related.
Yep.
I would, honestly, first of all, go buy out the, I would go buy a venue, and I would start my own school and my own promotion and run it in Northeast Ohio, because there are 90 million schools and not enough promotions for everybody to work. And I would hire some of the best trainers on the market, including Al Snow.
Is Al Snow becoming your new man crush?
No, I've always liked Al Snow.
No, I was just wondering, because you've interviewed him twice now on the network, and both times he schooled you, and it's one of the very few times.
Really? Really, Tim?
That's one of the very few times I've seen you give somebody that kind of respect, that's all.
I've always given Al Snow respect. Don't be a fucking idiot.
I never said gave him respect. Anyway, I just want to say, hey, new arrival in the chat room, Santo Loco. Hey, ¿qué pasa, Santo Loco? Just because I haven't seen him in the chat room for a while. Okay, so where was I? Oh, yeah, Omega, your turn.
Oh, goody.
If TNA moved out of Florida, hey, Mace, pay attention. You're not getting the TNA question. Omega, if TNA moved out of Florida, where would you have them base their Impact tapings?
The hard part. I'm really not sure. Probably back in Nashville, where they still got a lot of business that they run, and where they probably still have a few bands that still remember it.
Okay, sure.
Just
why not?
Just because I have Asylum memories, and I remember them being a lot more interested than the crowd in Orlando.
Okay, that works for me. Back to the top of the list. Will, your second question. What tips would you give John Cena on being liked by all the fans?
Wrestle. Stop being so fucking formulaic. Do something different. Change your game up. Show that you actually learned something when they taught you shit in OVW. If there's a reason to cheer you, make shit interesting. Use match psychology. Remember how to sell.
I think he just would rather replace everything about John Cena.
Okay, that works. Mace, your final question. If Omega decided to get into pro wrestling, what gimmick would you give him?
I'm going to get real... My mind's springing to about 400 Transformer gimmicks.
The Decepticon.
Oh, there's an obvious one there. There's an obvious one there.
The Decepticon.
It ain't
make
that one.
Make him a heel.
No, just because he already partly got the name. Mega Supreme.
So...
Omega
Lame,
Prime.
I know.
I'm disappointed.
Well, I'm not going to call you Omega Prime if that's what you're wanting.
No.
It would definitely be something Transformer related. I don't know what, but it's definitely...
No. No. That's not the direction you go in.
Fine, Kamen Rider then.
Will you stop? Will you...
Now, Omega,
specific.
Omega, in all fairness, it's Mace's question.
I know.
But okay. So,
I'm just going to give up and let Omega pick his own gimmick.
No. Mace is going to put you in some kind of Transformer gimmick if you decided to become a pro wrestler, and that's all there is to it.
I'm not going to be a pro wrestler in Australia, then.
Okay.
So what would it be, Omega?
Be the collector. Everyone I beat, I steal something from as a memento.
That was a good Chris Jericho gimmick. I like that gimmick.
All right.
That was a good
gimmick. Go ahead. Ask a question.
Okay, Spud, what would your reaction be if your wife said she wanted to be a porn star?
You know what, the honest reaction or the very truthful reaction?
What's get back in the kitchen and make me a sandwich.
Because I know my wife would never, ever, ever be a porn star. Why? Because she's so self-conscious about her body that sometimes she actually has to turn the lights off in the bedroom before she gets naked.
Okay.
And I've been married to her for 5 years, and we've been together going on 7. So.
Okay. So which answer was that? The honest one?
Yeah, it would never happen.
Okay.
But if in some fantasy realm she did end up becoming a porn star, great. Just don't forget who you come home to at night.
Okay, there you go. Omega, your final question. Are you ready?
Uh-huh.
If Spug's wife did become a porn star, would you buy her DVDs? Would you collect them?
God damn, how do I answer this? Like a first edition Optimus Prime.
Answer it any way you want. Do you actually think I'm going to be mad?
It's the only reason Spud got this question to begin with is because I know he wouldn't take it the wrong way.
You'd buy him. Don't lie. You'd buy him.
Yeah. Yeah, my curiosity would get the better of me.
Okay, I just download the torrents myself. I wouldn't spend any money on them.
Hey,
thanks for buying them
out of respect for Spug's family.
Yeah, thanks for starving my child, Tim.
Oh, come on. Somebody already paid for the damn things. It's no different than if I went to one of those buy, sell, and trade places and bought one.
You're still buying it, and I still get a share of the money.
Not at a buy, sell, trade place. Not
yes,
where they,
you do. Cause the, yes. Yes.
If you buy
a copy of that album, that because the albums, DVDs, and whatnot, those buy, sell, trade places do buy a select number of those CDs direct from the distribution center. So some of that money does go back to the artist.
Yeah,
him saying he would get it used.
Yeah, and even if you're talking about buying it used, that still represents one that was purchased, which means there's more marketability for Spug's wife, so that other guys can be paid to fuck her.
I think she'd go all lesbian, to be honest.
Well, then put me down for at least 3 DVDs.
Tim's seen my wife.
Okay, make it 6. Does your wife know that you gave me that picture?
Yeah, she was standing right there when I sent it to you.
Oh shit, I'll never be able to look her in the eye when I see you in Ohio in 3 weeks then.
You're coming to Ohio in 3 weeks?
Maybe.
Really? What part?
Maybe not. I'll be driving through.
Tim's gonna have to get the armor ready. Or not Tim, Spug.
I just might punch him on principle, to be honest.
Get his own video.
I mean, I just might punch him in the mouth and be like, that's for being a Canadian.
Oh, no, then I'd have to punch you in the junk.
Hey, I didn't say anything about punching you in the junk. Well, let's not get vicious here.
Well,
for the love of God, record it. That'll be great.
Yeah, I'll tell you, yeah, put it on video and put it up on the site. Just be thankful I didn't think about... never mind, I'm not even going to say that one. Shut up. <Omega. laughs> You realize I caught you on that just in time, right? Knew exactly where you were going to go with that one. We didn't need to go there. All right, well, that's it. I got to run to the store and buy some more cigarettes because, I'm smoking my last one now. Everybody, this has been Wrestle Talk Radio for January 3rd, 2010. First WPR. 2010, probably not the first wrestling talk show of the year, but that's okay. I don't care. Don't
forget. The only one that matters.
Hey, what's that?
The only one that matters.
There you go. Well, one of the few that do. Okay, so don't forget, tomorrow night, the Monday Night Retro is what we're calling it, just because it's a look at a couple of former superstars returning to television Bret Hart with WWE and Hulk Hogan with TNA Impact. We're going to be talking about that on the Super Show tomorrow night. I'll be there along with crew. Of course, joining us will be Nick Anthony from OWW Radio and the one and only Trey Dog Wrestling News Live. We're going to take a look at what happened. Tune in. Don't miss it. You're going to love it. Everybody.
Oh, I can't wait.
Thank you very much for tuning in tonight. Final words, Will.
Oh, tomorrow's going to be awesome. I can't wait. I'm going to mark out all over the fucking place.
There you go. Omega.
Everyone have fun tomorrow. It's going to be interesting no matter what happens.
Face.
Just remember, it doesn't matter who, if WWE wins or TNA wins in the rating. In the end, wrestling fans win.
Perfect phrase. Spud. Fuck Mav, buy a t-shirt. Fuck tomorrow night, too. There you go. Everybody have fun tonight. Everybody wank drunk tonight. That's it for this week. Don't forget, next week we'll be back at it yet once again to do something loony and goofy. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Don't forget to catch all the shows here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, including tomorrow night's Super Show. We'll catch you next week for Wrestle Talk Radio. Fuck Mav.
Random set phrase.
You've been listening to Wrestle Talk Radio, a Wild Talk Radio Network feature presentation produced by WTR Productions. For complete archives of this podcast, check out the official website of Wild Talk Radio Network located at wildtalkradio.com.